In our tour to the northernmost point in Israel, Caesarea Philippi. Often you read about Israel in the Bible, it's from Dan to Beersheba. We will be at Beersheba on the last day. But Dan is just down the road here a little bit. It's a tell they have not done much on yet. But Caesarea Philippi is the same place. Our Lord was here, and the passage is Matthew chapter 16, if you'd like to follow along. Caesarea Philippi, to distinguish it from Caesarea Maritima, which was over by, of course, the Mediterranean that we've already seen. We're beginning at verse 13 of Matthew 16. When Yeshua came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Eliyahu or Elijah, others Jeremiah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Yeshua answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. This is absolutely one of the most important spots and the most important passage, because we have a huge controversy in church history over what Yeshua meant when he said to Simon Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Mount Hermon is solid rock. The whole base of it, you can, after we're done, walk up there if you want. You can still see the shrines of paganism, little places for gods to be set. The whole place was dedicated to the god Pan. Pan or pas in Greek means all, from which we get pantheism. God is in everything. What an interesting place with all of its paganism that Yeshua would ask his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And this whole thing is so critical to our understanding. Peter said, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Wow, right on, Peter. "But flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father's in heaven. But you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." Now, what in the world was he talking about? I think the best thing to do is to demonstrate it. When he said, "Thou art Peter," Petros is a stone that you can throw wherever you want to throw it. And that's all Peter was. He's a stone. God could throw it wherever he wanted. And I like to picture the fact that our Lord Yeshua picked up a little rock and said, "Thou art Peter. But upon this Petra," He changes the form of the word. The base of Mount Hermon is Petra. It's a rock you can't move. What is he referring to? He's referring to the fact of his testimony that thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And on that Petra, the rock you cannot move, I will build my ecclesia, my church. And the gates of hell, actually it's Hades. According to Revelation, if you remember, we have some riders of horses. And we are told what follows death is Hades. The gates of Hades is referring to death. So when our Lord taught this, he's actually saying that if you die, it does not affect the church one bit. Why? Because the true church is being assembled in heaven. There are some who are already there, others of us who are not there yet. So thou art a little stone, Peter. I can throw you however I want. But upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church, and the doorway into Hades, death itself, cannot overcome it or destroy it, cannot prevail against it. Because when you're dead, you're absent from the body, but you are present with the Lord. So you understand what he said here was really powerful. The Roman Catholic Church says no. They say that he designated Peter as the foundation of the church. And the whole system of Roman Catholicism is built on this passage. And he never said that. It's built on the confession that thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Anyway, as I began to think about it, I realized, what's the major issue in the world today? If you just ask that simple question, what is the major issue religiously in the world today? And the answer is, who is the Messiah? That's the biggest issue. By the way, that's the number one issue on the Jewish websites. It's the number one issue on the Muslim websites. And President Ahmadinejad of Iran spoke, as we have told you before, at the UN Assembly last year, and spoke on who is the Messiah. He absolutely shocked the delegates, because they thought he was going to talk about his nuclear program and whether he's going to submit to UN investigation. Instead, he acts like a preacher. He said, it's the 13th Mahdi, and he's coming in the fall of 2008, and he's going to kill all the Jews and Christians. Now, you got to admit, the guy had a little bit of courage to do that in front of the United Nations. But the sad thing is that the man really believes it. There are over 1,000 people that we know of in India who claim to be the Messiah. We've had some people in the United States. Whether it was David down at Waco, Koresh, or whether or not it was the Heaven's Gate in San Diego, or whether or not it's Reverend Moon who believes he's the Messiah. The Hebrew word means anointed one. It's used 39 times in the Bible. And the Septuagint, or the Greek translation of it, uses the word Christos for Mashiach. So when you read it in your New Testament, the word Christ, it is not translated. It is said into English from the Greek word Christos. And it appears 514 times in the New Testament alone. And it's translating the Hebrew Mashiach, the anointed one. Actually, that could apply to someone beside the true Messiah. It applies in Isaiah 45 to Cyrus, who was like a Messiah in granting permission for the Jews to return to rebuild their temple. And Isaiah the prophet used the word of him, Mashiach. Now, translating it as Messiah are only two times in the entire Old Testament out of 39 usages. And they're in the book of Daniel and tell us about a day when Messiah will be cut off. Wow, that's pretty interesting that he's going to die. I think the most important question anyone can ask is, who is the Messiah? And I looked at the answers of the Bible. Right here, Peter said, Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. And Yeshua said, I'm going to build my church on that one. People like Jehovah's Witnesses say, the Lord never called himself the Messiah. Really? In John 4, 25 and 26, to a Samaritan woman, he told her he was the Messiah. To a man born blind who was healed in John 9. And how about Martha at the resurrection of Lazarus? I know you are the Messiah. Now here's the problem. When Peter said, thou art the Messiah, he gave a phrase after that that is very controversial. You tell me, what is it?
The Son of the Living God.
Thou art the Messiah, the
Son of God.
Ah, the Son of God. But Islam says God has no son, but yet they believe in a Messiah. Is the Messiah the Son of God? Peter said yes, and Yeshua did not correct him. As a matter of fact, as you all know, if you've read your Bible, the Messiah is called the Son of God throughout. That's what made the Jewish leadership accuse him of blasphemy. You call yourself the Son of God. I've had interesting conversations with Jewish rabbis about this issue. How can he be the Son of God? And here's an interesting fact. When the Greek language, which is again the largest language in the world, when it translates son, it does not use the word for a little born one. It doesn't use brephos, meaning a baby in the womb or one that just came out. It does not refer to babies up to 2 years old, technos. It doesn't use that either. It does not use the word pais or paideia, which refers to an elementary school type child who still needs discipline. It does not refer to neonicos, which is a young person we'd call a teenager. None of this. Well, what word is used when it says Son of God? And it's the word huios. Huios is an heir, H-E-I-R. When we read Psalm chapter 2, the Father says to the Son, ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. That Psalm 2 goes on to say, we have to kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry with us and we perish in the way. But rather blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Now I've asked many people, sometimes publicly, only to be embarrassed to find out people don't really know what we're talking about. If I asked you, do you have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God in order to be born again?
Yes.
Absolutely you do. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, speaking of the miracles of the Messiah, it says many other signs Jesus did, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And in believing that, you will have life through his name. Not anyone here is born again unless you believe he's the Son of God. Does that mean a child by birth? No, it does not. A child by age? No, it does not. It means he's the promised heir of all things. By the way, when you believe in him, you become the joint heir with the Messiah, according to Romans 8. This is a very important issue. Yes, God has a son. In Proverbs 30, verse 4, it speaks of creation. How marvelous and awesome it is. And it says, if you're so smart, then tell me the name of the one who created all of this. Or tell me his son's name. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. I showed that to a Jewish rabbi friend. He was startled. He said, I never saw it. And he's read through the entire Hebrew Bible many times. But sometimes we have blinders on. We don't see that which is most simple sitting in front of our face. Yes, God has a son. Not a son by birth or by age, but a son by relationship to the Father, the heir of all things. For the Father is the source of it all, and he has given it unto the Son, that he might be the heir of everything. Well, that's interesting, because what's the name of the God who is focused here in Caesarea Philippi? What is his name? Pan, which means everything. Do you remember what Paul said about the Messiah? He said Christ, or the Messiah, is all and in all. His point is he's all you need, and he's what makes us all one, and he lives in us, his life. But is he in the stones? No. It is paganism to associate the life of the Messiah with that which he himself created. He is separate or holy from sin, yes, but he is also holy and separate from all that he created. Never to be identified with trees and rocks and plants. That's the neo-paganism that has captured many in the environmental movement in America. It's paganism. No, he's above all. Amen?
Amen.
He is greater than all.
Amen.
All of these wonderful things the Bible speaks about him, sets him apart completely as the heir of all things, and the only one, by the way, who can see to it that you go to the Father in heaven one day. Yeshua himself said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Now, Philip was curious about that, and he said, well, show us the Father, and, you know, we'll be happy. That will suffice us. I guess it would. Yeshua said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. In John 10, they picked up stones to stone him because he said, I and the Father are one. Christian Science say, well, it means one in purpose. No, you don't stone people who are one in purpose. They picked up stones to stone him. Why? Because they said he's making himself equal with God. Now, is Yeshua God? So many religions say no. He's the Son of God, you see? Bad understanding of the word son leads to that argument. Is he God? Jehovah's Witnesses say he's never called God in the Bible. Well, they're clearly wrong. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Jehovah's Witness says, no, there's no definite article. It means a God. No, it doesn't. There isn't any indefinite article in Greek. When you put the definite article there, it separates or identifies him among others. So it would not say, and the word was the God, as though there are others and he's the God among them. No, there are no others. Over and over again about the Messiah in Isaiah, it says he is God and there's none other. There's no other God. And yet it identifies the Messiah as being that God. We got ourselves a problem, don't we? But if he's not God, then he can't save any of us. He could save one person if he was a good man and had never sinned, so he didn't have to die for his own sin. Then he could substitute his life for one other person. But how would he do it for all of us if he weren't God? 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ, the Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself. In John 1:1, where it says the Word was God, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Some English translations say the Word was flesh. No, it's the Word to become. It is not the Word was. What does that mean? That means he was in existence before he became flesh. He is the eternal Son of God, who became man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, said John. Peter said the same thing also. We were with him on the holy mount. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He is God. As a matter of fact, all of the major attributes of God that are not ours, human beings don't have them, like eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all of these things. Every last one of them is used of our Lord Yeshua. He is God. His ability to calm the sea, he is God. His ability to heal people, he's God. And Isaiah 45, which is quoted in Hebrews 1, has the Father saying to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Father calls him God. Do you remember the angel in Revelation rebuked John? John was so excited with what he's hearing, he falls down to worship the angel who's communicating it to him. And the angel says, don't do that. You only worship who? God. Yet the Bible tells us to worship our Lord Yeshua. You see, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. He's either God, or the Bible is a bunch of fairy tales. You can't have it both ways. There are so many people trying to play down this issue. There is no salvation unless he is God. The Bible calls him the Savior of the world. Well, he couldn't be the Savior unless he were God. And that's why the text says, God, our Savior. Concerning the second coming, it says, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So here we are, stuck with another problem. While so many people in the religions of the world do not want to declare that he is God, the Bible says it over and over again. As a matter of fact, it's so powerful that in 1 John 5, it says of Jesus Christ, this is the true God. Now, you can deny it. You can lie about it. You can say the Bible's crazy, whatever you want to say. But don't misunderstand. That's what the Bible says. This is the true God. He's called the great God. He's called the true God. He's called the only God. You say, well, what about the Father? There are not three gods. There's only one God. Never has been three. Well, wait a minute. You're saying that God became a man. That's right. Now let's suppose for a moment that there are ants crawling in this dirt. And you ask me, how can we communicate with those ants? Now I can yell and scream, hey ants, I'm talking to you. I could put up a sign, dear ants, this is a message. Hey, not going to work. How do I communicate with those ants? Anyone? Become an ant. It's a simple story. How would God communicate to the creatures that he himself made when they in fact are not him? He would have to become one and reveal who he is by everything that he did and said. And that is what we have in the Bible. Over and over and over again, the Bible makes it clear. It is the issue of all issues. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Wow, what a message. Don't you think you ought to be telling folks about it? A Russian guide named Alla Malvinsky was leading me around Moscow over 35 years ago. She had never heard the name Jesus or Christ. She spoke seven languages, was a graduate of the University of Moscow. Had never heard of him. She asked me one day if I'd like to stand in line to see the tomb of Lenin, Nikolai Lenin. As we drove by, I saw this long line of people. I said, how many's in that line? She said, well, today it's a slower day. There's only about 10,000 people. I said, how long would it take us standing in that line to see the tomb of Lenin? She said, well, it will probably be only 6 hours. I said, you want me to stand in line for 6 hours to see the tomb of Lenin? She said, well, yes, I would think that's what you want. I said, no, I don't want to do it. She said, why? I said, because he's dead. She said, so? I said, well, the one who I believe in is not dead, he's alive. She said, oh, it's a fairly new religion. Well, not exactly. I spent 3 days telling a person who had never heard the whole story. The good news is she gave her heart to Yeshua, but I want you to know something. When she did that, tears flowing down her face, she said, why aren't the people who believe this telling us? I've never forgotten it. Why are we not telling people? This is the greatest story the world's ever heard. He will forgive your sins. He will give you eternal life. Who are we talking about? God in human flesh. The heir of all things. The Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is our only hope. And Isaiah quotes the Messiah, and I leave you with these words. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we could be here at this special place, this historical place, Caesarea Philippi, and to remember what Peter said at this occasion and how our Lord dealt with him. And God, we know that it's not easy for a world filled with religion to understand the truth that will set us free. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to remember it is the greatest message of all time. Help us, Lord, to truly believe what you said and trust you and you alone. And we thank you in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Yeshua. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Our guide will take